And on our phone now, Bob, is a fella who has called his fair share of these games and who's probably sitting there wondering, how the hell is this even happening? It's our old buddy, Ralphie Boy, Ralph Stranges.
Ralph!
Boys.
How long has it been?
Like a couple months.
Like 3 hours?
Well, you know, you guys, yeah, you and I spoke this morning. Hi, Cobra.
What's up? How are you, bud?
Oh, man.
No. Hey, you're in California still, right? Like, you've been through there through the wildfires and everything?
Yeah, they've actually, where I am, I'm in Palm Springs.
Oh, that's right.
And yeah, so I'm not, we've actually kind of dodged, and there were a few in Riverside County here. But yeah, not really. None of the organic medical dispensaries have been touched.
Good.
In my area.
Good.
Yeah, I knew you'd like to know that.
You're living right.
One of the benefits of living where there are no trees is that there are no
wildfires. Just plants.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Just plants. Just plants.
Oh, okay, so Saturday night, I start getting texts from Ralphie, and I don't know how dialed he is into Stars hockey from time to time, but I also know that in September, when the playoffs are going on every September, it's fun to watch Stanley Cup hockey, and the Stars are going on a run. So I think you've taken a bit of a shine to Stars hockey here in the last several weeks, like so many of us. And with that in mind, I really enjoyed receiving your text, which pretty much says, what is happening here and how is it happening? And I pretty much agreed with you completely, because this is an odd story, an unforeseen one, and I just kind of wanted to get you on the air to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, well, first off, this is my team.
You know?
I mean, I go back to 1967. You know, I was 6 years old. I saw this team play my dad. And you know, and then I was fortunate to work for the North Stars in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
and then served under several regimes here in I'm not there anymore, mm-hmm. in Dallas. And, you know, we had a parting of the ways, but I still very much keep an eye on them. And turns out this is very good timing for me. I should be doing some of these games for Westwood, or I could have been doing some of these games for Westwood. I told Bobby, I feel like I'm part of the P1 community. So, you know, just sort of lay it out there, I've had some health issues. And so I'm able to do these games for Westwood, which kind of sucks. But I'm really happy about actually watching the games. And like you, I'm scratching my head.
Yeah.
I can't understand this ceiling. Like, I got a few Ralph stats, right? Because I went in and I've been looking at this. Okay, so prior to this series starting.
Yeah.
The Stars, the defense first team, the Stars are 3-7.
What's going on? Hold on, one second. I want to hear everything you're saying, and we're only getting
right.
a little bit. I don't know if you have neck phone going on here, but just
I might have a little neck phone.
Okay,
looking at my pad.
All right, as best as you can do. Okay, go on.
All right, I'm not. I don't know about this broadcast.
Tough, Ralphie.
And Zooms and all this stuff.
You're doing great.
Okay. All right. So prior to this series, the defending first Stars were 3-7 when scoring three or fewer in the bubble. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
7 of their 10 wins prior to this series, they scored 4 or more goals. So I look at this series and I go, okay, let's look at it. Game 1, we can give an assist to Thatcher Demko and the Canucks, right?
Yeah.
They made them play 2 more games than they had to, and they were gassed. Vegas was gassed for game 1, and the Stars won. But then I think the Stars won a game that was a horrible way to win it, 1-0, right? And they said, oh, okay, now we can go back to being that team that plays, you know, 1-0 and all of that stuff, right?
Right.
Well, game 2, Vegas wins 3-0. And it was kind of like maybe I kind of expected the series might go if the Stars couldn't score.
Totally.
Goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're tight. Now games 3 and 4, and I know you, Bobby, I know you've got all this. But they're outshot 73-43 in the last. You know, these are 2 wins. They're outshot 73-43.
Wow.
Attempted shots are 142-82, including a 37-5 barrage by Vegas in game 3 that they hang on and win with the first shot in overtime, right?
Yes.
So they're, you know, and I look at Hudobin and I think, I mean, it's not like it's it's, you know, it's Eddie or it's, you know, Brodeur or it's, yeah. you know, it's very quiet.
Yeah.
Side to side. He's always in the right position. He looks like he's always like kind of scrambling to get back into the plate. It's been amazing and super fun and a little like watching Marty. And it's great, but it's like, it's really head scratching. And I think Vegas, because, you know, and I won't stretch it out too much, but you look at what Vegas' top guys, I mean, they have shots, they have chances, good chances, and they just don't score. So they got to be coming to the rink every day going, this is a nightmare, right?
Yeah, yeah.
At some point.
I mean, is that where you are?
Absolutely, and I'll take it even further. I'm just, I'm scared to move because I feel like there's some balance in the force right now that if anybody changes shirts or something, it could possibly go poof into thin air. So I'm very nervy about where we are right now. They feel like they're walking a bit of a tightrope, and yet they're walking it well enough that I think Vegas has them in their heads a little bit.
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, the reason that most teams go on and win with 3-1 leads, although this is one of those series you hope they finish it fast, because you don't really want to let that team find its wind. But the reason that you win when you're up 3-1 is you get three shots for your goalie, you know, at your defending game to win one. And they can probably do that, right? They might drag us through the mud a little bit here.
Yeah.
But I would be, you know, I mean, I'm not shocked about anything anymore, really. I'm living in 2020, but nothing really shocks me. But I would, you know, I like, you know, they gotta love their position. But it's unlike anything I've seen, really. And I was trying to remember back to some of those other series. The only thing that sort of reminds me of is Anaheim Dallas in 03.
Yep.
Where it just completely reversed. Where, you know, Hudobin is Jaguar. You know, and the Ducks are Stars, and Vegas is Dallas.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean, I don't know what that did to your brain, but...
I remember it well.
You know, yeah. So, you know, so that's the only... I mean, sometimes this happens, and you get beat, even though maybe you were the better team. So, let's... Like you said, I'm not changing any shirts or anything tonight.
So, you know, Mike Reiner always used to say... He always used to refer to these teams that just kind of, there's no way to really explain it, is that effing team. What, no matter what the sport is, that, you know, every 4, 5, 6 years, there is one of these teams in the four major sports that just kind of pop up, and they end up winning it, or at least they advance to a point that nobody expected them to, and it's that effing team. And it's all, look, I'm not saying that the Stars are completely, you know, void of talent or anything like that. But just where they were at the beginning of the bubble to where they are now, there really is no good explanation out of just insane goalie play and guys finding their veterans finding their, you know, acting like they're 25 years old. It's there. You can't explain it, and they're slowly but surely becoming that effing team.
Well, and it's even stranger because when you go to those other effing teams, you see, you know, they outperform their opponents regularly.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, so you look at this, and the Stars have been outscored at even strength 41-38, right? 39-38. I mean, they're losing, and they only have one power play goal in this series. So it's really inexplicable because it's not like, oh, you know, Scherzer and Strasburg really found their stride, and, you know, and the hitters were hitting and everything. This is really a crazy thing. I think there's a few things. One is, you know, Jamie's always been kind of known to play himself into shape a little bit, you know. So he, you know, so he's there, and you know, from my eyeballs, and Bob, you know this. They'll be at the end of this series, at the end of the run. Hopefully, it's in about 3 weeks or whatever, and they win it all. You'll find out how many major injuries these guys have.
Yes.
And my eye, looking at Tyler, he doesn't look right. He looks like he's competing and he wants to be there. And he's giving him, and you know, you just throw him over the boards. You know, they held him in a knee brace in 99, and you throw him over the boards, and he pokes that puck over to Pavelski, Tyler did the other night.
Yep.
And that's a big goal, you know. I mean, that's what they're doing. But, you know, so you got Ben, and then I don't think you can underestimate the impact Pavelski and Perry have had on this team. To have guys who have been there, and especially Pavelski.
I agree. That,
and know how hard this is, right?
Yeah, you know, and it's wild because it's like they're taking turns where this has been like a 5-week run, And for a couple weeks, Corey Perry is a massive ad, and wow, look at Klingberg doing all this, and then they like pass the baton to two or three other guys, and that's what a 8-week marathon run is like. Now, you and I were talking about two things today that I'd like to touch on here before we run out of time, and I'll just kind of throw them to you in the same thing, which is, one, a guy like Jamie Benn, maybe playing himself into shape, but also maybe realizing he doesn't have a marathon in him, but maybe he still has a sprint. And if you can kind of see the finish line, maybe you can kind of gut your way to a level that we're not used to anymore. And then the other one that I think is really interesting, which you definitely have thoughts on, which is just being cooped up in the bubble. The oddity of this run, and maybe some team, I mean, we thought teams would actually be looking forward to perhaps being put out of their misery so they can go play golf or go to a beach somewhere, and just the mental, I don't want to say warfare, but there's mental baggage in all these athletes this year that we don't quite know about what it's doing to impact this. So I don't know.
Yeah,
there's not a question in there at all, Ralphie. But just grab what you want,
and I can handle it. Yeah. I think Ben kind of relates to both of it, which is as you're saying. Yeah, he's positioned well now because he got through, you know, those other series, and now he's kind of bowing up. They're managing his minutes too. I mean, I look at the minutes. He's at 16, which is pretty manageable. Pavelski's 18, almost 18, leading, you know, all Dallas forwards. And I think when Jamie showed up with the suitcases, and I know this story has been told, and he had all the suitcases, said, well, we plan to be here for a while. You know, I talk to guys in the league, out of the league, who've been around, aren't around, all of that stuff. And all of them kind of think that this is a real mental challenge. Like, this is, you know, some guys were betting that the season wasn't going to come back, and they didn't take care of themselves. They didn't get into shape. When they got there, the bubble is a beating. They found out they didn't want to be away from their families, or they didn't want to be away from the lake, or they didn't want to be away. And there were enough guys on each team. When this playoff started, I looked and said, Boston and St. Louis ain't going to want to be here very long. You know, they've had a really long stretch starting way back. Right.
Yeah.
So like, you know, so I think it's a game of survivor, you know, and you've got to have the head for it. And I think if the Stars have two things going, you know, beyond Ben's playing the best hockey of his life, and Hudobin is stealing games, which you have to have.
Yes.
Nobody wins a cup, doesn't have a goalie steal games. But the other thing is, I think it's their attitude. You know, it's that they're okay being there, and in fact, they're good being there. And the people I've talked to, you know, they want to be there, and they've caught a gust of it, and they've been getting a lot of good help. You know, I mean, Calgary without Tkachuk, Colorado loses both goalies,
yeah,
major player every day. Now they get into this series and they catch Vegas on short rest. I mean, it's lined up for them. And, you know, put your foot on them and choke them out tonight, and then get on and wait for the Stanley Cup final. That's what I want, and I can't wait to watch it.
Freaking right.
So what is what's old Rick Bonus? Where does he fit in all this as far as pushing all the right buttons and pulling all the right strings and all that?
I don't know, like, because you look and you, Gurionov, right? He has the 4-goal game, and his minutes get cut the next couple of games. Same thing with Kiviranta, right? And Gurionov's their only 20-goal scorer in the regular season. In fact, 5-on-5 goals, right? They're getting outscored. The two leaders on 5-on-5 are Pavelski and Gurionov, right? And he has less ice time than only three other forwards, and they're all guys who don't play. And it's like, what button is he pushing? And the young Finn, they'd never put the young Finn in without Cogliano getting hurt, right? It was Cogliano, right?
Yes.
I mean, they never put him. Nobody would ever put him in because that's how it is. It's, you know, it's a tough game. And,
right. Right.
Girls, you know, they're not gonna dig in with the rest of us. And the kid saves for bacon, like he said. I don't know what he saved, but he might have saved a lot. And have you looked? His minutes have gone down since then, every game.
Yep.
And so I look at it and I think what he is doing is, because I know Bones a little bit and well enough to know that he's, you know, he's a guy they like and they want to play for and they want to be around. And with so much of this being attitude and being together and understanding the challenges and dealing with that stuff every day and keeping the mood right and all of those things, that is probably his greatest contribution, I would think.
And there's value in that.
Him too. Yeah, there's a lot of value in that. Because you see other teams have not lasted that long because they don't have that approach. And they don't have a guy that, you know, that has a smile for you, a pat on the back, you know, understands what's going on and is in it with you. Like, you know, and that's been, you know, priceless. So I, you know, whatever's happening, man, you know, congratulations to Jim Mill and the hockey department, all those, and Jenks, of course.
Oh, Stretch. Of course, Jenks and Stretch.
You know, to how they've been managing this. But, you know, I'm really excited. I can't wait to watch this.
I can't wait either, man. And I really appreciate you giving us your thoughts because they're valuable. And you pontificated at such a vast way that we have no time to cross-examine you about how the Vikes looked yesterday. So we'll just...
You know what? Let me take 10 seconds, okay?
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers has had everything in his life he's ever wanted. Money, fame, women, cars, houses. The one thing he dreamt about, I bet, every night for years, and it was just this dream way out in the distance that one day he'd walk into an empty U.S. Bank Stadium where there'd be no crowds and four rookie corners sitting in the Viking secondary. And that, boys and girls, would finally complete everything on his bucket list. Now he has nothing left to live for.
Charm life.
Ralphie, I know you're dealing with some stuff, and you know that we absolutely are on Team Ralph and want to visit with you again very soon. So take care of yourself, buddy boy, and let's get a W tonight because every kid dreams of the Campbell Bowl when they're born, and they could be holding it tonight.
You bet.
All right, Thanks, Ralphie.
Take care, Ralphie.
Yep. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Yeah, you bet, guys. Yeah, bye-bye.
Ralph Strangis, my man.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.